you guys. Time once again for Flickers of Fear. And this is going to be the last review for Monster March. I was actually going to do another theme for April. I was going to do anthologies. But then I thought to myself, I think that April and May, I might just like leave them wide open so I can do whatever movie I want to do, because there's a whole bunch of new ones that got added on Shudder and on some different streaming services that I kind of wanted to catch up on, and I didn't really want to worry about having to fit them into a theme. So I think I'm going to move the theme, like the anthology theme, to maybe August, because it starts with A and I'm anal and retentive like that. But I am going to have some themes every now and then, but I think that because I had a theme last month and this month, I think I'm going to cool it with the themes for the next couple months so I can catch up on some new and older movies that I wanted to review that didn't necessarily fit into the theme that I had imagined. But since this is the last one for Monster March, you knew that I had to get around to doing this one eventually, and I really, really had been wanting to do this one, and it's been requested a couple of times. And this is the 2006 monster movie, The Host, a South Korean film directed by Bong Joon-ho, who obviously won, you know, worldwide acclaim and Oscars galore with the movie Parasite from 2019, which is an excellent film. He also made Snowpiercer. He also made Memories of Murder, which I love. I should probably get around to review on that one of these days, too. He also made one called Okja, but I haven't seen that one yet. I've seen all his other ones, and they're all fantastic. And much like his other movies, and like a lot of Korean, South Korean movies in general, at least ones that get like a wide Western audience, they're very, very adept at like mixing different genres. So while this is a horror movie and a monster movie, it's also kind of like a family drama and a satire, and it's really, really well balanced. Like, you can just watch it as a fun monster movie, obviously, but then there's like a lot more depth to it as well, and you get like really involved in all the family relationships. They're very, I mean, Korean movies in general, as I said, at least the ones that tend to get wide releases over here, are just really good at not only making a great horror movie, but also kind of like tugging at your heartstrings and getting you to like really care about the characters that are in the movie. Like, I'm thinking of like Train to Busan and stuff like that, which actually legit like kind of made me cry at the end. But this one, kind of the same. I mean, this one, I don't know if I necessarily want to spoil the ending. This movie's not that new. I mean, it's 2006, but I'll try not to like spoil the end too much. I don't know how widely it's been seen, like if you guys have seen it. I will say that it does have a bittersweet ending. So it's like, it's sad, but there's like some happy stuff too. That's like all I'm gonna say. But I actually kind of liked it. I mean, the ending is kind of a bummer, but I'm kind of glad that it had sort of like the balls to end it like that. You know what I mean? But yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. So again, this came out in 2006. This was actually Bong Joon-ho's third movie. I think he'd made one called Barking Dogs Never Bite. That was his first one. I think that was on Shudder for a while. I don't know if it still is. And I haven't seen that one either. Then Memories of Murder, which, like I said, if you haven't seen that, it's great. That's like a police procedural. And then this one, which is like a monster movie. Now, this movie was actually inspired by a true event, which happened in 2000. And apparently there was a guy who was like a Korean mortician's assistant, and he was working for the U.S. military in Seoul, Korea. And they apparently his superiors told him to dump all this formaldehyde like down the drain, which would send it into the river. And then that it had caused some like kind of minor mutation. So that's kind of where, so the opening scene of this movie, where Herschel from The Walking Dead, aka Scott Wilson, where he is kind of like the military guy, like where he's like a pathologist, like a military pathologist, and he tells his Korean assistant, hey, like, we're not using all these old bottles of formaldehyde anymore, so just dump them down the drain. At which point his assistant is like, that's gonna go right into the Han River, which probably not such a good idea. And he's just like, fuck it, just do it anyway, you know what I mean? So it seems, so if you see the scene and you're almost, it almost kind of like shades over to like, could like cartoon villainy kind of thing, but just know that that's pretty much exactly what happened in real life. It didn't cause like a huge monster, but it did cause like some smaller mutation, so it's not really that much of an exaggeration. So yeah, that's how the movie starts. You have this, all this formaldehyde being dumped into, directly into the Han River. And then it jumps ahead a little bit, And I kind of like that it does this because that first thing happens in 2000, and then they jump ahead a couple years, and then there's like a couple fishermen who are fishing in the river, and then one of them like picks up a thing in his cup, like when they're out fishing, and like you can't see it, they don't, like, you know, they don't show it to the audience, but he's just kind of like, what the hell is that thing? You know what I mean? How many tails does it have? So it's, I like that they showed that it was just kind of like started out as like this little small thing that could like fit in someone's cup. And then being like, wow, that's funny looking or whatever. And then it kind of like gets away. And then like as the years go on, like you're led to believe that it just gets bigger and bigger. So aside from the monster, kind of the heart of the story is the Park family. Now, the main guy, I guess, he's like the, like I said, it's kind of like a family drama as well. But the main guy is named Gangdu. And he's kind of not a stupid guy, but he's just kind of like a schlubby, kind of not excessively bright, kind of lazy, you know what I mean? So he works in his dad's like food stall. They have this food stall that's on the Han River, and it's kind of this, it's kind of this like pavilion or this place where like a lot of people come like for picnics and stuff. So he just works in the food stall and looks like he just spends most of his day like sleeping, because he's like just kind of sleeping. So his dad's always just kind of like, get your shit together, you know what I mean? So there's that. So Gangdu also has a little daughter named Hyun Seo, and she's probably about 11 or 12 to me. I'm not sure if they said like how old she was, but apparently what ended up happening was that I guess her mom like ran off, and so now she's kind of been in the care of this not so bright dad, and she's kind of like, you can tell that she's like a lot more precocious and like kind of a lot smarter than him. And so there's that. Now sometimes she gets babysat by her aunt and uncle, who are Gangdu's brother and sister. So he has a sister named Namju, who is like an archer. And she's, because they show her, like, at the beginning, like, she's doing, like, some big competition, and, like, she only wins the bronze, even though she was, you know, in line for the gold, and she, like, you know, she choked at the last minute. So, you know, that's going to, like, factor into the story later on. And then Gangdu's brother is named Nam-il, and he's, like, a college graduate, but he's been having a hard time finding a job, so he's kind of, like, alcoholic. So in the middle of the monster action, you kind of have this family dynamic where there's kind of a lot of resentment and other things going on in this. Like, they love each other, but, you know, they all have their own flaws and they all have their own issues that kind of come into play as the story goes along. So one thing that makes The Host different from a lot of monster movies, I feel like, most monster movies, and even like the great ones, like Jaws and stuff like that, they really, really hold off on like showing the monster. Like a lot of times they'll just kind of show hints of it, or if they do show it, it's kind of like in the dark or it's shadowed or something like that. The Host does not do that. Pretty much maybe less than 10 minutes into the movie, I don't even think it's 10 minutes into the movie, less than 10 minutes into the movie, that big monster has jumped out of the river and is like running in broad daylight and is like running down the riverside with everybody screaming and running around, which was a really, again, like a very audacious move, like for a monster movie. And I'm sure there's been other ones that did that as well, but I kind of feel like it was just really, that's really, really different, like for a monster movie, that it just like throws the monster like right in your face, like in the first act of the movie, like only a few minutes in. Now, this was 2006 and the monster is completely CGI. So the CGI looks slightly dated, but honestly, that's really not, I mean, it looked amazing for the time, like for 2006. So it's actually like some of the best monster effects you had going for 2006, which nowadays, like I said, you can't really help, you know, that it ages out some, but it still looks pretty goddamn good. I actually watched The Host on, I think, Hulu, and, you know, they have a nice version on there. And even though obviously you can tell it's CGI some of the times when it's moving and stuff like that, but it still looks pretty goddamn good, especially for the mid-2000s. Christ knows I've seen lots of horror movies that came out in the early to mid-2000s where the CGI just looks like complete ass, but this actually looks really, really good. So the monster, I like that the monster is kind of, it looks like a monster. It's not massive. It's not like, you know, kaiju size. It's basically like a, it's about the size of a bus or something like that. But I mean, still big enough that it could eat you and it would like, and it's still scary. But I like that they made it look like a monster, but look almost like a believable mutated monster. You know what I mean? Because it has kind of like, if a fish and an, or if like an amphibious animal, like maybe like a frog kind of tadpole situation, but if it kind of got mutated so that it kind of looked fishy, but then it still had legs, and then it also has a really interesting, like, prehensile tail, so, which is good because then that gives you another kind of thing where it can, like, grab onto things. Matter of fact, the first time you see the monster, everybody's kind of like, all the picnickers and stuff like that are, like, all along the river, and they're like, what the hell is that thing? Because it's almost hanging like a bat or like a cocoon or something like that, like from its tail, like underneath the bridge, and it's kind of all curled up, so nobody can tell what it is. At first, they think it's like some big construction equipment, like in a bag or something like that. They don't like think it's a monster, like, whoa, what the fuck is that? And the hilarious thing about it too is that at first, when they see that it's a creature and that it's alive, you know, it kind of like unfurls and then it like goes in the water and then it starts kind of swimming over to him and nobody is immediately alarmed. Everybody's just like, hey, neat. It's like, it's an animal. Like at first they kind of think it's maybe a dolphin or something like that. Although I don't know how they would explain why it was hanging upside down under the bridge because dolphins generally don't do that. But at first they're like trying to feed it. Like they're throwing like food in the water going, hey, neat. But then like it jumps out and they're just like, oh shit. And then they all start like running away. So yeah, so it's mass panic, mass chaos. In the chaos where everyone's trying to run away from this monster, Gangdu, who up to this point, like I said, this is not that far into the movie, but up to this point, there's been enough characterization to realize that Gangdu is kind of seen as like the loser of the family. Like he's just lazy and he just like hasn't made anything of himself and he's just like, you know, sleeping in the food shack, and it's like when his dad asks him to do something like, hey, grill these squid for these people, and it's like he fucks it up, and you know what I mean? So he's just that kind of like schlubby, not overly bright kind of dude. But to his credit, he does really kind of like man up like almost immediately because, like I said, his daughter is around and he doesn't want her to get hurt, obviously. So he actually goes, him and this American guy are trying to like fight the monster and like trying to get it from, you know, to keep it from eating people and shit like that. So they do actually like try to fight against it when everybody else is kind of running away. But after a while, like the monster is just kind of rampaging, knocking people over, like, you know, kind of swallowing people. So he decides, well, we just got to get the fuck out of Dodge. So he has his daughter, Hyun Seo. He has her by the hand and they're running and running. But then there's like all this chaos. And then he kind of turns around and sees that the girl whose hand he's holding is somewhat is a different little girl. So it's not his daughter anymore. So then he looks back in horror and sees that Hyun Seo is back there and that the monster like basically picks her up with its tail and, you know, kind of snatches her away and then jumps back into the river with her. So obviously they presume that the little girl is dead. So there's really a funny scene. I was watching the horror show earlier. Like they did like a 20-25 minute discussion of this movie. They're both big fans of it. And it's funny because one of them said, well, the first time I saw this movie, I think I didn't realize that the grieving scene, like where they, because like I said, they think the little girl is dead. So they're all in this like big kind of like gym or warehouse. And they have all of these mourning pictures, like all the people that got killed by the monster with like little black bands on them. And they have like flower arrangements and stuff. So like the whole Park family is in there. And they're all like freaking out like at this when it's like funny because it's sad because, you know, you think the little girl is dead, but the way that they're just like overreacted, they're just like wailing and like rolling around on the floor and stuff like that. And so like what, and I think the first time I saw this, because I've seen this movie like 3 or 4 times, and I think the first time I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be funny, that he's like, because, you know, I think when I first saw this, I didn't know a great deal about Bong Joon-ho's other movies, but he does have like a kind of like dark sense of humor like that. So I think that even though, yes, it's sad because like the little girl's dead and they're mourning her, but I think he was kind of like making a little satirical jab at this kind of like, like this over emotional where they're all just, like I said, just sort of rolling around the floor and screaming and stuff. I mean, I thought it was funny and I was just kind of like, I'm pretty sure like he meant it to be funny. And I don't know, maybe that's like kind of a cultural Because I think that's one thing the guy said too. He's just kind of like, he's like, now that I've seen more Korean movies, I get that he's like kind of making a like a dark joke about it. But at the time, he didn't realize that it was like kind of supposed to be funny. He's like, is that, are we supposed to be like sad? This is like kind of hilarious that they're just like rolling around like that. But yeah, so they think that she's dead. And then everybody comes in, like the military and scientists and everybody like that. And they're just kind of like, okay, well, this monster actually carries a virus, hence the name of the movie, The Host. And if you've had any contact with the monster, then we need to put you in quarantine because you're gonna get some kind of like fever or rash or whatever. Now, because the whole Park family, what ended up happening was Gang Du didn't touch the monster, but he did kind of like hit it with kind of like a the bottom concrete bottom of a sign or something, and he kind of like got some of the blood splattered on his face. So he tells them that, and they're just like, holy shit. And so they have to bring him and the whole family, and they put him in quarantine. Now, while they're in quarantine, though, Gang Du gets a phone call, like on his cell phone, which was actually his daughter's cell phone. She had given it, they had had an argument because he's like didn't have a lot of money, and he's been like saving up all this change so he can buy her a real cell phone because this is like an older. She's like, I can't even get a signal on this fucking thing. You keep it. So it's his daughter's cell phone. So he gets a call while he's in quarantine, and it's his daughter being like, hey, you know, I'm alive. I'm in a sewer somewhere, but the signal isn't good enough for them to like figure out where she's at. So now that they realize that the daughter is actually still alive, they kind of have to like rally like the whole family, and they're like, we need to get the fuck out of this quarantine and go find out where she is. She's still alive someplace. So that's basically what the most of the middle part of the movie is them attempting to get out of quarantine, attempting to like run away from the authorities. You know, they have to go to these gangsters and like get weapons and a truck and all this other and, you know, outfits and stuff so they can like, you know, do all this subterfuge. So there's all that kind of stuff. And then they don't know where she is, because she just says, I'm in this deep sewer someplace. And so they have to like do all this stuff to try to triangulate like where the they have to like go to this dude and like figure out where the signal came from so they can find out where she's at. So there's that kind of thing too. The great thing about this is that the sewer where they shot all the scenes with the little girl, and there's a bunch of other bodies too, because apparently what the monster does is, because you see him like eating people, like in the opening scene where he's like rampaging around the riverside, like all the picnickers and stuff. And what he does is he'll kind of like eat them, but then he keeps them like in his stomach for a little while, I guess. And then he takes them back to this lair, which is like a sewer pit, and he like regurgitates them down in there. And then later on, so I guess he like keeps them in there, like so later on he can like snack on them at his leisure, but that's what he does. So that's why some of the people that get dropped in there are dead, but some of them are still alive, including Hyun Seo. So she's down in this sewer, which actually, I think at first they were planning on building a set like for this sewer, but they found one that was exactly like what they wanted, like a real one, like a real like sewer pit kind of situation. And they're just like, oh, how fortuitous. So they decided that they were gonna film it in there. So they had to take a lot of precautions, obviously, because this is actually a real sewer or water sluice or whatever the hell it was. So they're just like, yeah, they had to give all the cast and crew like tetanus shots, and they had to all like wear gas masks like when they weren't on the thing. So, you know, it probably wasn't a fun situation, and they said it was like cold as shit down there, you know what I mean? So but it lends the movie like a lot of verisimilitude, obviously, because they this poor little girl like crawling around in the real fucking sewer pit. And I'm just like, man, she's a trooper, I gotta say. But yeah, so it's basically like a race against time for them to find the little girl, like what sewer she's in, before the monster actually eats her. Because like I said, he just eats people and like regurgitates them back in there and then eats them actually later. And then later on, he comes back and like regurgitates like a whole bunch of bones and shit. So he's like a whole bunch of bones. I mean, he's really, really been eating his lungs, what I'm saying. But yeah, so like through the course of the movie, as I said, it's kind of like a family drama. It's like it's a monster movie and it's scary and tense, but it's also like funny, like darkly comedic at times. And it also has a lot of really good kind of like drama, as I don't even know if I'd call it drama, because a lot of it is kind of still dark humor. But it is kind of showing how sort of this family is, who were kind of fractured, are being brought together through their hunt for Hyun Seo, and also how each of their flaws kind of almost contributes to how they end up defeating the monster at the end. You know what I mean? Like, because as I said, each of them has their kind of flaw, whereas like the Nam-il, the one brother who's kind of like an alcoholic, who's unemployed and he's very resentful about it. And then you have Nam-joo, who is, you know, kind of an elite athlete, but keeps not being quite good enough because she doesn't like release the arrow quick enough. Like she's too slow, you know, she's just too slow. And so she just wins the bronze like at the beginning instead of the gold. And then you have Gang-do, who is kind of like this shiftless, not terribly bright, kind of like lazy, who feels like he's not maybe doing enough for his daughter. So you kind of see them rise above, I guess, rise above their flaws and kind of like get over each other's, like, their resentment for one another. Because there's, like, this funny scene, and it's, like, it's funny because it's, like, touching, but it's also, like, hilarious, where they're kind of all in this little food thing where they're kind of, like, stocking up on food while they're looking for the sewer. And the dad is, like, Gang-do has fallen asleep again. Like, that's another thing, like, he kind of sleeps all the time. I guess they're trying to say like lazy, but I was like, does he have narcolepsy? Is he all right? But yeah, so he's like always falling asleep and they're just like, Jesus Christ, so he can sleep at a time like this. But so the dad is like talking to the other brother and sister and it's like, do you really think that Gang-do is that pathetic? And they're both like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like really funny, like, of course. And then he kind of goes on and tells them, he's like, you know, why don't you basically cut him some slack? It's like, you know, when he was, because he's a little bit, the Gang-do is, I guess, a little bit older than the other two. And it's like, you know, when he was younger, like, you know, he didn't have a mom. And it's like, I was out carousing and like, I left him home alone all the time. And it's like, he had to go out and steal food because I was, you know, out and drunk and I wasn't taking care of him. And, you know, it's like, he's got a lot of problems. And it's like, you know, why don't you just like, again, like, cut him some slack because he didn't really have the best upbringing. And it's funny while he's telling this big long touching story and then they cut across to the other brother and sister and they're like you know what I mean, like, so it's like that, it's like touching but then it's like kind of funny at the same time. But I don't, but see, only I feel like only the South Koreans can pull off that kind of like this tonal thing that they do. It's like, it's a really distinctive, as I said, I'm sure it's not all the Korean movies, but it's just the ones that I've seen, like ones that get like a big foothold over here, like in the West. I kind of feel like they're very good at balancing tones, where I feel like if you tried to do it in a US movie, I don't think it would work out as well. Like, I have seen some kind of, you know, ones like American films or British films where they did a similar kind of thing and it worked out okay. But it almost seems like in the film DNA over there, like in a weird way, where they're just kind of like, yeah, they're not really bound by the constraints of genre. And it's just like, yeah, this can be like horrific and also funny, but those, like, they're just really good at balancing. And, you know, and also like emotionally devastating, heartbreaking. And it's like they don't really seem to have any, they don't seem to have any problem like mixing those things together and not thinking it's weird because it just comes across as very natural. So it's like, I don't know, I just really liked that scene where he was like sleeping and then, you know, the dad is just like telling them, he's like, come on, give him a break, you know, he had a fucked up childhood and he's, you know, all this other stuff, and they're just like, don't care. They're just like bored. It was just kind of that. But yeah, so as I said, it's kind of like as much a story about the monster as it is about this family kind of like coming together and using all their flaws to, like, defeat the monster. As I said, I don't really want to spoil the ending, other than, you know, I guess if I say they defeat the monster, that's kind of spoiling the ending. But, I mean, the other stuff that goes on, because it's a monster movie, they usually do get defeated. So there's that. But I also want to say, too, this is kind of, like, this is very interesting. So this movie does have, I wouldn't call it an anti-American sentiment, but it does kind of have a thing. But North Korea would say that because they don't usually praise like South Korean movies. But this one they did because they said, oh, it's like it's picking on the United States, which it kind of does a little bit. But it's almost kind of, it picks on Koreans, too. Like, you know what I mean? So it's not like just across the board kind of thing. What they're saying is that the monster was actually caused by, because it was caused by this one military pathologist who told the Korean guy, his assistant, to dump all these, you know, chemicals in the river. And he did it. And so they are saying, yeah, America is ultimately to blame for this monster, for this devastation to our environment. But they're not really letting the Koreans off the hook either, because they're like, well, you guys went along with it. So, you know what I mean? And this movie also portrays the Korean government as very inept, and they don't really give a shit about any of their people. And there's a whole thing, too, where they leave this ambiguous, but the whole thing, remember when I said that they said, oh, this monster is like the host for a virus, and if the monster touches you and it doesn't eat you, like, you'll get this virus and you go to quarantine. And then there's kind of like a thing later where somebody tells Gang-do, or he overhears it, like, while he's in, when he's in custody, because he gets out, but then he gets caught again, and we need to give him a lobotomy and all this other stuff. He overhears, or one of the guys, one of the scientists, an American scientist, tells him, oh, the virus isn't real, we just made that up. But you don't really know if that's the case. So you don't really know if there's, like, a virus or not. So there is kind of, like, a thing, too, about misinformation, about, like, maybe the U.S., you know, told the Korean government that there was a virus so they could have their, so they had their own kind of agenda. Because then later on, they send over Agent Yellow, obviously like Agent Orange, so they want to like spray chemicals all over this monster to kill it. And then there's all these protesters and stuff where they don't want them to spray it because they know it's poison and all this other stuff. So there is like a lot of commentary in there about the kind of complicated relationship between the U.S. and South Korea, particularly militarily, which I don't know a great deal about, but, you know, I know enough of the, you know, of the outside details to kind of get where they're coming from with that. But as I said, it's not, I don't think it's, like, super heavy-handed. It's there. It's in the background. The story is mostly about this family trying to find this little girl in this sewer and, you know, trying to kill this monster. And if you want to take this other stuff, like I said, it's just kind of like Godzilla being about, you know, the dangers of nuclear, you know, nuclear bombs and stuff like that, like making this big mutation. So it's a similar kind of thing. I feel like all of the monster movies, Asian monster movies in general, do tend to have a political subtext or, you know, or something like that, that's the reason for the monster existing. And this one is no different. But as I said, it's still, you know, it's not heavy-handed, it's not anything like that. This is still like a really fun, fast-paced monster movie. And it has like a lot of stuff that you don't see in a lot of these types of monster movies. Like I said, you get to see the monster a lot. It's CGI and it does look dated, but the monster design is actually really, really cool and sort of actually kind of looks like a real creature that could exist, because it kind of looks like a hybrid between like a fish, amphibian, lizardy kind of thing. I don't know if lizard, but I'm trying to think of like some other animal that would have, like an aquatic animal that have a big ass tail like that. Maybe it's almost like a squid tentacle or like an octopus tentacle or something like that. But it kind of looks like something that could really exist, albeit probably not at that size. I actually kind of like that they made the monster smaller. Like it's bit, like I said, it's still big enough to eat you, but it's not so big that it almost becomes an abstraction. You know what I mean? It's very visceral. It can run around like inside a crowd. Like, you know what I mean? It looks about bust size. So it's still scary, but you can still get a good scale of it, and you can see the whole thing, and it's, like, running around and stuff. And as I said, you see it pretty much the first few minutes of the film. You see it in broad daylight, like, all the time. So you always get a good look at it, because it's not really structured like a standard or like an average monster movie, and I think that works in its favor. Like I said, it also has, you know, a really good, like, emotional core to it with this family kind of coming together to, you know, toward a common goal and like getting past their past resentments. And even though it has a very bittersweet ending, it's still kind of like uplifting a little bit in a way, like, you know what I mean? So if you haven't seen The Host, I kind of feel like most people have probably seen it by this point if they're into horror movies, but maybe not. So if you have seen it, let me know what you thought. If you haven't seen it, are you interested in seeing it? Do you like this kind of monster movie? Do you like Korean movies? Let me know in the comments and we'll have a discussion about it. So that will do it for the last review of Monster March. Next month, like I said, we're just going to go wide open with whatever movies I feel like doing. I'm not going to do a theme. I don't think I'm going to do another theme until June. I think in June I'm going to do giallo movies. But yeah, so April and May, I don't think I'm going to have a theme. I'm just going to do whatever. So, yeah, that'll do it for this Flickers of Fear, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.